Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the male birds who build their own sort of concert halls to woo the females. But first, a worrying new report on our planet's vital signs. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, what are the planet's vital signs?
So there's a whole range of different things that scientists look at. They count about 35, but they're things like fossil fuel emissions, CO2 concentrations, how acidic is our ocean. So there's a whole range of different ones that are looked at on a regular basis. But this new research, it's a report, it's called Perilous Times on Planet Earth, and it's been produced by a group of scientists globally in advance of the next UN summit. Mm-hmm. And as another sort of climate scientist commented on Twitter, whenever you see a headline like this, you almost open it and hope that you go in and find it sort of disreputable sources that are saying this, or the sort of extreme fringes of climate sciences. But this is research from countries like China, Denmark, Brazil, from institutions like Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, ETH Zurich. So very, very leading climate scientists. And what they've said is that of these 35 planetary vital signs that we track, 25 of them have gone into the category of extreme. So as we've talked about before, the three hottest days on record were in July this year. Our fossil fuel emissions are at an all-time high.
In spite of all the efforts to get alternatives.
In spite of all the efforts. And what is really quite depressing is that when you look at the huge increase in renewables, and again, we've talked about that as well, they were up over 15%. From 2022, but that is really accommodating our extra demands for power, as opposed to actually replacing our fossil fuels, which went up mostly. It was coal and oil use went up in 2023 by about 2% each. But not only that, we are still becoming more numerate on this planet. So there's about 200,000 new people joining us on this earth every day in terms of numbers, and about the same number, slightly less, in terms of livestock and ruminants. So these are some of the issues. The other thing is we are losing trees. So despite, again, it's kind of depressing because we hear so much about putting trees back, we're losing tree cover all the time. So I mean, there's a number of things they've also said. They've talked about these feedback loops. So things like when the ice melts, we reflect less sunlight. Yeah. When it's hotter, we put more water vapor into the air as water evaporates, and that in itself is a greenhouse gas. So they're also saying some of these feedback loops are getting faster and faster. So this will be going into the
now,
UN.
These warning signs, therefore, should help map out a plan.
They hopefully will, although it does feel a bit like we're in kind of don't look up territory. The warnings have kind of been a clarion call for years. But one of the key things they're saying, and this has come out of research over and over again, is there has to be a real embedded carbon price in everything that we do. They're, of course, saying we have to keep up our replacement of fossil fuels with low carbon renewables, but we just have to cut what we are using and what we are consuming, and we have to think about changing our diets. So those are really the big messages. They haven't changed for years and years and years, but we are getting ever closer to dramatic changes, I think.
Now, for us in Ireland, I mean, we're a small contributor, but everything is looked at on the basis of a per head emission.
Well,
so therefore, we may be quite high on that scale.
We're very high. And actually, the EU as a whole is often counted as one of the biggest emitters. And we are one of the biggest emitters. We're one of the biggest users of things like single-use plastics. And we have high energy usage. Obviously, many of our homes aren't as energy efficient as they should be. So that's another thing we need to do. But yes,
and
we are a small country.
That's low-hanging fruit. Insulating homes is low-hanging fruit.
It certainly is. Yeah, certainly is.
Yeah. Okay. Depressing. Anyway, let's find joy somewhere, and we're going to find it with the male great bowerbird, which is found in Australia and other parts.
That's right. There's a number of different species of bowerbird, but the reason why they're called a bowerbird is one thing they all have in common is they build a bower, or a sort of place to attract a nest, and many of them use it as a kind of concert stage from which to sing and woo a female. And the male great bowerbird in Australia, his bower is sort of like, it's called an avenue because he builds a tunnel of twigs, and then there's a court at either end, one court for him to perform on and another court for the female to enter. And as well as making this avenue with twigs, he also decorates it with all sorts of different things like stones.
Things you get anywhere.
You get anywhere. Stones, shells, bones, and actually even plastic nowadays. Yeah. They find coloured plastic. And they're very clever. They do this in a gradient where they put the biggest objects closer to the avenue and smaller ones. So they even create a sense of perspective. And not only that, they provide snacks for the female. They put sort of a vegetable pulp and saliva on the walls of the bower. So when she arrives, she has smell, she has food, and she has this visual display. And of course, when a female arrives, they dance. You know, they do all sorts of...
So what's the show like itself?
But the show, so they do a big call to attract them in. Then they start out with a sort of hissing song and then lots of dancing. And they parade prizes. They pick up things, almost imagine on a game show, showing off the prizes. They pick things up and display them. But this new research now shows they are not only are they amazing sort of display artists, they are also sound engineers. Because what researchers did was they recorded the song of the bowerbird and then they listened to it from all sorts of different parts of the avenue. And they also removed different objects and slightly changed the shape. And what they found was the shape of the bower is very specific and it's amplifying the song for the female. So when she's listening there, she's thinking, God, this is a very strong, virile, robust male that's singing. And not only that, the little hard objects that he's placing, where he puts them is also amplifying the sound. I mean, you'll know working in radio that the softness or the hardness of the surrounding changes how you're hearing things. So it boosts up the frequency of some of the sounds. So she's kind of getting this maximum sensory overload in the performance.
Now, the question is, how did the bowerbird, born in an egg and hatched, how did it learn how to do all this?
Well, I mean, instinct is one thing, but this is a whole thing around sexual selection, which we see in evolution. And of course, he's also developed this beautiful, he has a pink feather crown, which actually is the showstopper in his performance.
It was described like a matador's cape.
It's like a matador's cape. He flicks it up at the end to really do the shows around. And all of these things have evolved because the males that can do this are those that are most likely to go on and have more offspring who also inherit these amazing behavioural traits.
Mm. How successful is it, I wonder? I mean, is it the first woman who comes in, the first female spots this and bingo? Or is he there kind of putting on show after show after show?
I think if she stays for the whole performance, he then gets to go into the avenue and she allows him to stay.
My goodness. What a complicated mating ritual. I've watched it online. David Attenborough did a very good piece on it. And there's a competitor in the region, so he ends up being disappointed.
Oh dear, yeah. But you know what? All of this kind of research just shows us what we still don't know. The amazing complexity that's going on in animal behaviour that may be even around us and we don't see it till we stop and look.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.